Well, we're almost at the highlight of the evening when our founding president, Dr. Victor Paul Weir, will be teaching on tonight's theme, Reaching the World with the Word, Living Epistles, Our Authority. But before Dr. Roll comes out and teaches, let's listen as Brandon sings, Walking in the Steps of Jesus Christ.
Next was down. I was going round and round in circles. And my ears heard something new. I didn't need to pay my dues, 'cause Jesus Christ had paid them long ago. Right on time, God rescued me. The devil has no hold on me. The world is far below my feet. God, fill me with power from on high. I am claiming every sonship right. Jesus Christ. So I'm telling everyone in town about this new life that I found. I'm moving on to higher ground. Come with me. As I'm walking down the street each day, I've got a smile upon my face. Whatever comes my way cannot stop me. Right on time, God rescued me. The devil has no hold on me. The world is far below my feet. God filled me with power from on high. I am claiming every sonship right. Jesus Christ, God fill me with power from on high. I am claiming every sonship right. Well, this is what I wanted all my life. I'm walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. Walking in the steps of Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. And we thank you for the privilege of allowing us to walk in the steps of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for making this such a wonderful day and night for all of our people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless and his love and greetings to all of you on this core night of Wednesday, August the 15th, 1984, here in the Big Top at the Rock of Ages. Living epistles speak God's word. And as our president mentioned in his teaching last night, Reverend Craig Martindale, God cannot work within you unless you work within him. And the reason for that is because he is the authority. Reverend Martindale, in his wonderful teaching and blessing to all of our people last night, also said, our commissioning gives us the privilege and responsibility of witnessing. And this is true, my people, because as living epistles, we have his authority. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, please. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that or who believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now this is one of the verses that always touches the innermost part of my heart and soul, and it just sort of tears me up at times. The greater works I have seen, like the miracles of the new birth, which is the miracle of all miracles, but I've never been able to see the works that he did, we were to do also. I've not seen the immensity of that, that I would like to see in my own life and the lives of our people. I see it constantly growing, and for that I'm truly thankful. But this is the record of the word, people. This is not something I made up, not something I wrote. It's something God had written, where Jesus Christ himself declared that whoever believes on me, and we believe on him, the works that he did, we should do also. This is why we need to continue to grow and reach out to do more of those works with believing and the love that's among us to be developed. And the greater works, of course, we know after he went away was the new birth on the day of Pentecost and leading men into not only the new birth, but the manifestations of the Spirit. Those that are the witnesses to people of the greatness of the divine presence of God in our life. There's a record in 1 John, please. The epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, class. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now, not when we die, but when? Now. Right now. And what a revelation that is to the soul of a man or a woman when they learn that beloved, they're not, God isn't beating people over the head with a ball bat. He isn't making them sick. He isn't going around hurting people. He says, beloved, now, right now, not when we die, but right now, we are the sons of God. And with all of that greatness, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Living epistles, my people, are not beaten up or downtrodden paupers who represent the Father as tramps or vagabonds coming to his door begging for food. We are his sons, and we come with all boldness and thanksgiving. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 31, regarding the first century church shortly after Pentecost. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with pneumahagion, Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with what? Right. Not as paupers, not as downtrodden people, but they spoke the word of God with boldness because they knew their rightful authority. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, verse 12, in whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, Jesus Christ. We have boldness to come to God, and we have access with confidence. With confidence means assurance, with certainty, that you just know when you go to God, it's going to happen. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have boldness to enter into the holiness by what Jesus Christ paid for. By a new and living way, verse 20. Not a dead way, but a living way, which he hath consecrated or dedicated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, by what he accomplished for us. You see, my people, sin has lost its authority and dominion over every believer, if they only knew that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Another translation which I like and believe is very accurate, it says, for sin shall no longer have rulership over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That Satan, the adversary, has legal rights over a sinner cannot be disputed or challenged. But the moment you were born again, Satan's legal rights over you ended. For you then had a new legal head, Christ Jesus. Then it was Christ in you, the hope of glory, according to Colossians 1:27. How few people have ever magnified or believed to magnify the greatness of that truth. Just for a moment, think of it as being literally true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For a moment, think that you are the daughter of or the son of the President of the United States. Would you have entree into his office? Would you have entree into the household? Very definitely. Now think for a moment of being God's son, God's daughter, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and that the moment you got born again, you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. How far below par we have allowed the world to drive our thinking and religious groups to drive our thinking. Like that one song says about such a worm as I. See? I think it's Amazing Grace or something. How can you be such a worm if God who created the heavens and the earth is your Father? That's why we are living epistles, and we have within us the authority of God's only begotten Son. Matthew 28, please. The seat of this authority of Christ in us is in heaven. 28, Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. That's the seat of the authority, heaven. And in earth is the rest of the phrase. Earth is the place of the execution of that authority. So God gave to Jesus Christ, and with Christ in us, who is seated on the right hand of God, we have him on that seat of authority declaring that all power is given unto us from that seat of authority to execute it here upon earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of this power? Power that exceeds greatness to us, word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in whom? Christ, verse 20. He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and when he set him on that seat of authority at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The right hand is the hand of blessing. It's the hand of power. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, the Word of God declares the following. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above what? Then that name is above the name of the President of the United States or any other man or individual, right? Right. Now look at verse 10. That in the name of, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. This verse, of course, I had planned on sharing before I heard the sharing by the two men this evening. But both of these men who spoke to you previously showed you the great truth of this in their life. As a limb leader and as an outreach individual, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things that are under the earth. Look at verse 13. The reason for their success is, for it is God who or which worketh in you both to will and to do his what? Never forget that. It is God who is in you. God in Christ in you. So God is always working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. All of our authority is based on his finished work. That's why your legal rights as a son give you the authority to execute here upon earth in his name and by his power. Many years ago, I put out a mountaintop checkbook, and we still have them available today, in which I put on check paper the 10 blank checks that I saw in the Word of God. I know all of these for memory. I've used them so often, I ought to know them for memory by this time, and I do. But I thought tonight I'd like to go through all 10 of them with you, because to me this is one of the great things that has helped me so many times in my prayer life and my believing for people and for our ministry. I've used these for many years as gifts to share with people, or I leave them on a table after I've tipped the waitress money. Mark 11:24 is check number one. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Look at the tremendous authority and power in prayer. And all of these checks are signed by Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13:8. Number two check reads, John 11:22. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it you. Check number three, Matthew 18:19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Check number four is John 14:13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. Check number five, John 14:14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Check number six, John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What a tremendous check that is. What a tremendous truth. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. It's not that we've been looking for Jesus. He's not the one that was lost. We were the ones that were lost. And God knew us before the foundations of the world, and he chose us. How easy it is to forget in life sometime that you've been chosen of God. But hardly any of you ever forget that you are a child of Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. I've never forgotten that I'm Victor Paul Weirwill, a child of Mr. and Mrs. Ernst Weirwill. So we should remember that we were chosen of God. Check number seven, John 16:23. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Check number eight, 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Check number nine, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the certainty that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And finally, check number 10 is 1 John 5:15. And if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Those are 10 blank checks that are in the Word of God. In the back of this wonderful mountaintop checkbook, I wrote the following. How wonderful it is that you, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, respect the promises of God with more fervency than mankind honors the names and checks of men. Think for a moment of the possibilities, the miracles that will come to pass in your life and others as you believe, honor, and respect the name of the Father here upon earth as it is hallowed in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has, in his infinite wisdom and foresight, given us 10 definite checks for definite needs. 7 of the 10 blank checks you may write in whatever you need, and 3 you may fill in with anything. Gilt-edged securities issued by the most financially sound corporations are not as sound, my people, as the promises of God. Financial markets affect fluctuations in the value of your money in the bank, but the promises of God have suffered no fluctuation in any way whatsoever. The resources in the vault of the bank of God are not only unlimited and infinite, but the same always, as Matthew 6:20 states, "Neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal." A remarkable privilege is yours in that you may reuse God's blank checks over and over again with a new set of requests and desires. The more these checks are used, the more powerful and meaning your life will become. I invite you, by your believing, to step up to the cashier's window of God's love and bravely countersign His promises, saying, "Father, I believe Your promises." Perhaps you would like to stop at the bookstore sometime and get a copy or two or a dozen of Mountaintop Checkbooks, and just make these promises of God a part of your prayer life and your action life day after day. Son, you got one of these? You come up here, I give you one. Right there. All yours, bless you. In God's sight, poverty and weakness of spirit are criminal. All heaven, with its authority and might, is at our disposal. You don't try to get into the family or stay in. You are in the family. I'm Victor Paul Werwolf from the moment I'm born until I die. I'm a son of God from the moment I was born again, and I'll never die because I have eternal life. So you don't try to get in the family. You don't try to stay in it. You're in it. So act like it. In the earthly family, the clothes you wear are yours, aren't they? Not your great-grandma's. The bed you sleep in is yours. The food you eat is yours. Likewise, in the spiritual family of God, we're in that family. Everything God has is ours, class. We just have to claim it. We have to walk up to the window and just believe and thank God for it. Unexplored territory for most born-again believers is their God-delegated authority as living epistles. Back to Matthew 28, please. Jesus came, verse 18, spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven, which is the seat of authority, and in earth, the place of execution of that authority. Now with Christ in you, who is seated at the right hand of God and yet is in you by the power of His, God's Holy Spirit, go therefore," verse 19. It doesn't say sit around and think about it. It says go. And if you're stopped at a stop sign and the light turns green, do you still sit there? If you do, somebody behind you honk the horn. It says get going, baby. So with Christ in us, people, having His power and having the authority to exercise that here upon earth, We just cannot afford to sit here and wait until we die. We gotta go. That's why you ought to go while, like the training's on now. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. Now, the rest of that verse you ought to scratch out. It's not in the text, doesn't belong there in the original God-given text. Therefore, verse 19 reads on to 20. Now, watch it carefully because it's very unique. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things or pay attention to all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. We are to go, therefore, and teach people. And we teach them to observe all things whatsoever God commanded us in His Word through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ said, God said, through Jesus Christ, or by way of Jesus Christ, lo, I am with you always. So here tonight, is He here with you?
Yes.
In wild training, is He with you?
Yes.
On the wild field, is He with you?
Yes.
People, you just got to wake up and believe God's Word and be thankful. You see, because God's hands are tied until we believe and use ours. The fear of a believer to act binds God's omnipotence. Reverend Craig Martindale last night spoke about our privilege as witnesses. And that was tremendous. And he mentioned how much more we had available and could do than angels, because angels, my people, were only servants. You and I are not servants. I read you that from the Word of God tonight. We are what? Sons. And certainly a son in the house has more rights and privileges and power and authority than a servant. We are sons of God. We're not servants. The angels were servants. We are the body of Christ. The head is Christ of the body. But the head is powerless without our hands and feet. God is so small in the world today, people, because men have made Him so small. God has no hands but our hands. You've heard me share this before. God has no hands but our hands with which to give them bread. He has no feet but our feet with which to move among the almost dead. We say that we are His and He is ours. Deeds are the proof of that, not words, and these are the proving hours. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Verse 14. Everybody's eyes in the Word. Y'all got good eyes. They turned the lights down, so you must all have good eyes. You can see the Word. Now thanks, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2. Thanks be unto what? God, right. Not to V.P. Wirwell or Johnny Jumpup or Henry Beloco or Reverend Righteousness or something. Thanks be to whom? God. Who always, always, and the word always class means what?
Always.
Causes us to triumph or to be victorious. In whom? And maketh manifest the savor. And the word savor is the word fragrance. Chanel number, whatever it is. Maketh manifest the fragrance of His knowledge, of God's knowledge, by us in every place we go. For we always speak the word. Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet fragrance in Christ. Now, wonderful. We don't have B.O. or H2O or something before God. We are His sons and daughters, and we smell good to Him. That is, in those of us who are saved, but in those that perished, or something else, to them were the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We are. For we are not as many which corrupt, verse 17. The word corrupt literally means watered down. The word of God. But as of sincerity. But as of God, of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak with Christ. And last night, I think Reverend Martindale read this verse in chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation, your letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of whom? For it's God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Verse 6, who also hath made us able WLWs, able ministers, able teachers, able twig leaders, made us able ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. The other day, David Berge of the Sixth Corps sent me a little note, and I was so blessed and thrilled with it, because the note read, we have a living God, according to 2 Corinthians 3:3. We have a living Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 7:25. We have a living Spirit within, according to 2 Corinthians 3:6 and Romans 8:2. We have a living Word, according to Hebrews 4:12. Therefore, we are to be living epistles and known of all men, according to 2 Corinthians 3:2. We are to be living sacrifices, according to Romans 12:1. Together we are a living temple, God's habitation, according to Ephesians 2. I thought that sort of summarized living epistles and the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. So just be real grateful and real thankful and study to show yourself approved and stay in alignment and harmony and fellowship with Him and just keep growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let's enjoy life and living with the authority that Christ has given us for this life, okay? Thank you, Father, for your love and grace and goodness. Thank you for your wonderful presence and power and for the great efficacy of your word through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless. I love you.
We are sons of God with power. Raise your head and say it loud. The The righteousness of God, it's ours. Of our sonship we are proud. We're bought back from the devil's power. We're set apart by Christ. And we're reconciling men to God, serving them the bread of life. We are sons of God, shining as a light, casting out the darkness, holding forth the words of life. Fearless as we stand upon the promises of God, proclaiming the wonderful works of Him every morning, noon, and night. We are sons of God with power. Raise your head and say it loud. The righteousness of God, it's ours. Of our sonship we are proud. We're bought back from the devil's power. We're set apart by Christ. And we're reconciling men to God, serving them the bread of life. Standing before our Father's throne, boldly without shame, making our request known to God in His Son's name. Bold because we know we're righteous, we're not afraid of man, knowing that in the book of life, God has put our peace. We're complete in Christ, believing, working miracles, casting mountains to the sea. Set apart by Christ, and we're reconciling men to God, serving them the bread of life.